Hey, it's the Film Drunk Frogcast. I'm Vince. I'm not good at intros, but I gotta do the intro this week. We're a couple men down. Ben's here, but he's not feeling too good because of the drugs and the chemo. Brendan is buying a house or something, moving out to the suburbs, trying to ruin my life like all my friends, having babies, moving out to the suburbs. Brett, don't laugh like you're not one of them.
I mean, it's been the plan from the start. I'm surprised you haven't found it in any of our journals or diaries.
Yeah, you sons of bitches. It's like a pincher move.
Yeah.
Pinching
me.
We
had the little X's and O's drawn all over the whiteboard. We're just like, here's how we're going to fuck Vince's life over.
Oh, yeah. And then
I'm going to go to New York. And then 6 months later, Brendan's going to buy a house. Ben's going to get cancer. He really took the bullet on that one.
Yeah. Brendan's going to buy a house on the same day that my ex-girlfriend of 6 years that I broke up with in March gets engaged. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you count that one as a loss, though.
No, more of just a whoa? Oh, huh? Yeah. I don't want to get too deep in into that one. There's a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous. that we could get into, but man, have you noticed I smack my lips sometimes as a in between thing?
I seriously keep saying that I'm going to listen to one of these and try and improve my speaking abilities, and I haven't done it yet.
That bad? Okay, yeah, I don't know. Between this and stand up, I noticed that I punctuate my statements with a smacking sound, and like as a person that violently hates all mouth sounds, I feel pretty terrible about it.
I don't notice that, and I'm very attuned to the smacking of the lips, but I think that might just be when people are eating.
Right.
When people, I want to pull their lower jaw off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in Freddy Got Fingered, where he pulls the...
Yeah, yeah, with the centaurs.
Yeah, anyway.
It's a very, very distinct revenge fantasy for lip smacking with me.
Yeah. Just to lay out the space docket for tonight, we're going to read some emails, maybe talk a little bit about Wes Anderson. I wanted to get Laramie on to talk about 12 Years a Slave, which I'm not a huge fan of, even though it's tracking 97% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. He's in a class. Book club. He's in a book club. See, what did I say about all my friends just ruining my life with their book clubs and their houses?
Are you gonna bail? Are you gonna bail on our book club?
No. Well, I don't know. I tried to read. So me and Brett and Brendan are trying to book club for Pynchon for Bleeding Edge, and I started reading it on the plane. And granted, I was like a couple beers deep in at that point, but he definitely has a writing style where it's just like he has these really long sentences that sort of meander around and don't go anywhere. And I don't know, when I can't get into someone's syntax, I have a hard time with it, but I'll give it a little while longer before I bail on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna get Burnsy on. We're gonna do a little Burnsy's Corner / Hot Goss in a few, and we got a lot of good emails, and we'll read some of those. And there you go.
Is he gonna do Hot Goss? I miss Hot Goss.
I don't know. He didn't. He's always very glib and terse.
He's cagey about the Hot Goss. He might have gotten sued a couple times since then. It sounds like he's got that tone of voice you use when there's legal trouble and you're not really allowed to even talk about it.
Yeah, he seems like he's been the victim of a few non-disclosure agreements or party to them.
DMCA takedown notices about his goss.
Yeah, exactly. So did you watch? And did you end up watching that Wes Anderson trailer?
I did.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
I did.
You liked Moonrise Kingdom a lot. So what did you think?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. I just, first of all, I hate the child relationship. I hate the cutesy child relationship where they're like getting married and they're doing all this like fake Hallmark card adult kind of stuff. And yeah, between that and this new trailer, it sort of feels like, Wes Anderson always had a style, but between Rushmore and Fantastic Mr. Fox, there was like a progression of,
yes,
you know, his style. Whereas Moonrise seemed like a very much poaching of older stuff that he did, and this one seems even worse.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that he's not firmly entrenched in his comfort zone.
Yeah.
I don't think he's expanding a huge amount into what he could be doing. I don't think he's excited about new stuff. I think he is absolutely painting the same painting over and over again.
Yeah.
What I liked about Moonrise Kingdom is how much he'd refined that painting, where every scene he shot was a fun little puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And you're waiting for him to just turn the crank and the scene to kind of like...
Yeah. He even puts those sounds in there, like if you watch the new one.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that because he hasn't failed to make it more intricate and dynamic, and it's very pop-up booky at this point.
Yeah.
Where each scene could be its own little entire movie just in the pacing and the layout, but I think at some point he's gonna push too far, or just like you said, poach. Like, I don't agree that he's gotten to that point, but when he does, it's gonna be kind of a steep decline into self-parody.
Yeah, I don't know, it just feels like, when you say refined, it sort of feels like you know, he's got this Wes Anderson cover band, and they play all the songs like really perfect and even better than when he started. But it doesn't necessarily feel like he's writing new songs necessarily.
I get what you're saying, and he's definitely playing. I don't want to defend him for not taking any real chances.
Yeah.
But I think there's still meat on the bone for his style.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where this one goes. This one might be a little too far.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, Fantastic Mr. Fox was different. That was an adventure out.
No, I love that one. That's why I was kind of disappointed by Moonrise, because I thought I don't know, it's obviously a departure because it's, you know, an animated movie, but
yeah,
it seemed different than his usual thing, and I still liked it a lot, and yeah, I was into that.
I think that's probably because he's adapting someone else's material, which I think he should probably do more of. I'm more interested.
That's true.
Would I rather see him adventure out into like doing an action movie or something? Absolutely. I would much rather pay to see that and have him fail at it than I would three more Moonrise Kingdom-esque things, but I'm still going to go to those three more Moonrise Kingdom-esque things.
Yeah. It's just, man, I can really see why people hate him now, where it's got the little kid and he's got like the painted on mustache.
Oh, but
you know,
people are so dumb about that shit.
Well, it's like, I feel like he's fallen into the place where everything in our culture has, where like if you either like Wes Anderson, because it's like, well, that's just what Wes Anderson does. And I'm like, no, I kind of liked it when he was stretching out and doing a thing. And then if you don't like him, say, well, see, that's why he's always sucked. And then it's just like the same two arguing forces yelling across the table from me while I collect their spittle on my face.
Did you see that Onion article where the rabid fan could turn on Simon Pegg at any minute?
No, it didn't. But I like
it. It was just one of their short little blurby ones.
Yeah.
But it's dangerously accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to defend him for playing it safe. Somebody should push him to take risks, but I don't think it's one of the whiny people who associate the abstract notion of the hipster with everything that's wrong in the world.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Just like, dude, shut the fuck up. No one cares what you think. Like, you're waging a war against a concept that you defined.
Yeah. Oh, everything is hipster. That's fucking hipster, blah. It's like, well, that's defined by things that you don't like now.
And why are they so angry about it?
I don't know.
Or fucking people who aren't me having very little effect on anything but my vision.
You know what it is? It's the same people who, you know, were really into hair metal and then grunge came out and they're just like, fucking, these fucking fags, they just turn their back to the fucking audience. Like, that's not an entertainer. Like, what? What? They don't even know how to play music.
You're saying they've got Neanderthal envy, where just some other species comes along and they're like, things were better when your brow was heavily and boned.
Kind of. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Where like somehow Wes Anderson becomes like shorthand for everything that's gone wrong with the world.
But what did the hipsters usurp that everyone's so surly about?
Well, that's why it's harder to define now, because, you know, it used to be there was like a movement and a counter movement, and now everything's like a meme and then a sub meme, and it's like it's done by 8 hours later when it used to take 5 years.
Which is so, I mean, I think I actually like that because everyone burns themselves out just repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, good, let's get this over with. It's like, just break the fever.
Yeah, the running.
And I never have to hear about this again unless it's actually good.
So
all the hype immediately flames out, and I can actually appreciate the thing on its merits.
Yeah, there's good and bad parts to it. I mean, people already hate a running joke before, you know, our parents have ever even learned that it is a running joke.
Yeah, But why would you base, why, I don't know.
Like, I saw last night, I was eating at a, you know, at a restaurant, and there was, you know, it was near my house where all the sort of preppy douchebags hang out, and I don't know if it was a kickball team or some sort of white people adult sports league, and, you know, like, a bunch of people came in with their shirts that had a picture of a honey badger and it just said "don't care" on it, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, man, let it go.
But that's great, because then you go to trivia night and the names are all either just happened in the last 5 minutes, you don't know what the fuck is going on because you haven't checked your phone, or they're yeah. so woefully out of date yeah. that it's just chaos. And I kind of like that, where you're trying to figure out whether or not it's just a random string of words slapped together, or if it's somehow referencing something that is already past being interesting.
Yeah, and you like, you sort of judge them, but you're not sure if you should, where it's just like, well, maybe they just don't have a job where they're on the fucking internet all day.
Oh,
like, maybe
shit, that guy's... Honey Badger back in? Am I missing out?
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's the Honey Badgers versus hashtag winning. A battle for complete and sadness.
but the whole the feeling of inclusion is what it's killing, and I am all for that. Like, you are never yeah. included on the internet. You are always an outsider. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, that's true. But then, you know, some people, like, when the Dear Mr. Watterson trailer came out, like, there's no equivalent to Calvin and Hobbes right now, and then I don't think there will be.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's why people are still interested in him, because he handled that shit correctly.
Yeah, but I just mean the thing that he created, well, I don't know if there'll ever be something like that. And that's, I don't know, it is kind of sad, not, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, I...
Game
yeah,
of Thrones,
I don't have a good example to counter that, but I'm not sure that the speed of acceptance prevents something like that from happening.
Yeah.
I don't know that what he, like, the distribution velocity had anything to do with that shit being as good and popular as it was.
Well, like, it didn't really have a chance to, well, just the media environment wasn't as niche-ified and polarized as it is now, where, like, everybody, it was such that, like, everybody could have heard of Calvin and Hobbes and was thinking about it, where I'm not sure there's stuff like that now. It's like, it's all broken up into certain cool people know about this thing and certain cool people know about this other thing, but there's not that yeah. one mainstream idea.
I get you. I don't know if Calvin and Hobbes is a good example, but I doubt there could ever be another Beatles type situation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and music, yeah, forget it.
Yeah, but that is definitely velocity based, where, or not, it's distribution based, where you're all watching the same channel,
right?
Versus, like, how quickly do you know that something's on that channel?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. we're not all forced to watch the same channel, so there's, like, something comes on and half the people aren't aware of it and half the people hate it.
But the Beatles didn't suck, but that's kind of magic. A lot of stuff sucked. That's survivorship yeah. bias oh, yeah. coming through, where all the shit you had to watch that wasn't the Beatles was just not, didn't make it through history.
But there is something, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just hopeless nostalgia, but...
Yeah, where, you want something to be nostalgia about. I think that's what it is.
No, I just think that there's something to be said for a culture that... you know, a society that has certain cultural touchstones in common that aren't just, you know, that you can talk about, and then someone from another part of the country has heard about, and like everybody knows about, you know, where everybody saw this certain moment, and you know, you have that in common in some weird way.
I don't know. I mean, you still get that with sports or disasters.
Yeah, that's true. Janet Jackson's which, tit.
You know, maybe you don't get that with pop culture.
Remember,
and I think
fucking
that's
9/11,
okay.
bro. Do you guys coming to my 9/11 party tonight?
Oh, that's the problem with Bleeding Edge, is because I know that's happening in the third quarter of the book.
Yeah. Well, in terms of having those, like, little cultural things that everybody's heard about, that sort of gives everybody something to talk about and lets them have something in common, and creates sort of, like, you know, a social circle, or
It's elevator, water cooler shit.
Right. Well, in that book that I was reading, The Art of Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking, which if you guys haven't read, I heard it on audiobook. I don't know if it's as good on paper, but on audiobook, I thought it was fantastic, partly because the reader was really good. But just they're talking about growing up in the Soviet Union, and like that was a huge thing because all the media is so tightly controlled, and there's like, you know, one channel, like, you know, which obviously sucks, but the upside of that is that there is sort of this community, and everybody has heard of the same things and has the same.
You can sing the same songs when you're drunk.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if I'm wistful for the lack of nostalgia so much as I miss the ability to find something hidden.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh shit, this is new, and you feel like that opening of possibility.
Right.
That's the other sort of flip side of the coin, is it kills off the ability to sort of self-discover.
Because everything's hidden and someone knows more about something
like,
than you
do. Just, if you're tuned in, it's just like set in your lap. It's like, hey, you like this kind of crap? Here's some more of that crap.
Yeah.
You know? Which
magical realism is the new hot garbage.
I don't get off on nostalgia or small talk because I don't like humans.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy addicts, and that's sort of the second side effect of massive, rapid, Nietzscheified distribution is I've self-selected and into these, like, here's the seven things I'm interested in. Tell me about them whenever they happen. And so now I don't really ever stumble into something new and weird where I'm like, I didn't even know I was interested in this as much.
Yeah. But then there's also like the weird litmus tests for subcultures now, where they're like so walled off from everything else that they have to. So like the Wes Anderson thing, where it's like, well, if you don't like this, maybe you're just not a Wes Anderson fan. And it's like,
oh, yeah, the line drawing's ridiculous.
Yeah,
no, I don't think anyone should ever support. Like, no one needs the beauty of total immediacy of information is that you don't have to hold on to it anymore. It's just all these people that aren't particularly good or interesting at stuff or culture that they're like, well, shit, I'm not much of a quarterback, but I can sure as hell yell. You know? And so they'll draw
sometimes
a line.
Your metaphors, it takes me like 10 minutes to parse your metaphors.
So you're a sports fan and you're terrible at sports.
So obviously you're not a golfer.
But you want to be involved with sports.
Right. And that applies to culture?
Yeah, yeah, in the same way, where you don't have much to contribute, but you'd still like to fight about something.
Right, okay, so it's like the
sort
of comment
culture. And so you need to have those boundaries so that you can throw stuff over them.
Yes, you have a t-shirt to wear.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Right. So that you look like you're contributing to the discourse without having anything interesting to say.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that. I like that. Now I understand.
We just need more interesting ways of belonging. And what I think we should do is we should eat the people that aren't good at stuff. Yeah. So that we can use them for fuel in our bodies to make more interesting things.
Okay.
Cook them up into stews. Mm. And then it's like, hey, you're a terrible Chargers fan, but you're a delicious second course.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not good at yes ending on that. Just putting it out there.
I keep thinking maybe I should bring up playing Fiasco on the air.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with this?
No.
My concern is that it's too improv-y and that I'll be laughed out of the podcast as soon as you guys do a little bit of research on it.
What is it?
It's like a storytelling game. Uh-huh. Where it's built around, I think, the Coen brothers. I haven't actually played it. I just bought it and then read it and wished I had friends that would play games with me.
Yeah.
It's based around like Coen brothers type.
New York. It's the biggest papers. Lonely city in the world.
Yeah, you essentially take turns trying to one-up each other as to how ridiculous the exploits can go before it all falls apart.
Okay.
And it seems like it would make for good radio, but
we could try it. I'd be down. Last thing on Wes Anderson, I kind of wonder if, you know, he was sort of stretching himself, and then Moonrise Kingdom came along, and he's like, all right, I'll just do this thing that I've done a few times that I know how to do really well. And then, of course, that's the one that makes the most money. I wonder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one made way more than his other movies. And I wonder if that. If I don't know if that factors into his thinking, or if, you know, he got
Yeah, I'm sure
that reinforces his thought to do that.
God, it's got to be weird. You know, like the traditional trade-off where you'll make a mainstream movie and then you'll make something super weird with the money you made making the mainstream movie?
Yeah.
What if the mainstream movie is just the shit you got famous for?
Oh, it is. Like, that's how it works now. Like, if he tried to make Lone Ranger, I don't think it would fly as well.
But it's got to be weird where the man is a past version of you.
Yeah, you're... It, pretty much.
You know what he's doing?
That's like
he's
the Tim Burton thing.
instead of making Lightning Bolt, he's just making a really good version of 10.
Lightning Bolt? Is that the new...
This is the new Pearl Jam?
Okay, yeah.
And it's pretty different.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I think like he's remaking 10.
But that's what I mean. He's giving the fans what they claim to be asking for, where he's just going to remake the same fucking album and make it better and shinier and faster. And
yeah, but then it's like, well, it's based on the idea of the fan, which is the non-thinking person who just likes whatever. Yeah. Like the typical nerd who catalogs without synthesizing and is like, well, these are the things that are good about a Wes Anderson movie. There's people with costumes. There's little kids falling in love. There's a weird painting. Everybody's got uniforms on. There's an old lady with lots of lipstick. And there's weird string like ding, 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 ding in the background.
It's scarily on the mark is what he's giving them. some asshole's YouTube there's about what makes a Wes Anderson movie.
There's a sad child. He's a protege who really wants to please his boss, and he's gruff and kind of a jerk.
Accents, lots of accents.
Accents for no reason. Mustache. Willem Dafoe.
Oh, God. You could animate that and go viral in a day.
All right. Well, Bernsey's waiting.
I don't really like Bernsey.
Well, neither does anyone like us. Call it the hate.
He's cast. The only friends we can find.
It's pretty much pretty accurate tonight. Lieb's got a show. Laramie's gone. Brendan bought a house.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, praise Jesus. You and Brett are somewhat at the same volume.
We worked that out ahead of time.
I can raise my volume.
No, you're good. No, dude. Okay. This is not that Christian.
Do it, Bernsey. Burn it to the ground.
I could try to filter it with like a German accent.
It's one way to think about it. What were we doing tonight? Were we doing hot goss or did you want to do the corner?
I have no clue. I'll do whatever.
Well, seems you've prepared. Well, that's good. I know that you did have a St. Louis Cardinals playoff song in your corner.
That fucker's obnoxious.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. You want me to play that? Do you want to? You want to introduce it at all?
I guess.
You're so coy,
Bernsey. Are you on lewds?
No, I just kind of stopped running around like crazy, and I'm just settling into it.
Someone did have a question for you.
Somebody had a question for me?
Yeah, life related.
Why do you talk?
That's the first question. It's from Emmett. He says, "Bernsey, how often do people like at the bank or something look at his full name and then go, huh, Mr. Burns, like The Simpsons?" And
that's such a good question.
And how do you manage to write approximately 400 posts on the various UpRock sites every day?
To answer your first question, Emmett, I'm assuming it's Emmett Smith because I know he reads us. Or maybe it's Emmett from Back to the Future. That'd be pretty cool.
Emmett Brown.
There you go.
Yeah.
To answer the first question, when I was a pledge in my fraternity in college, the very first day of the semester, like our first meeting when all the dipshits started, had to show up to yell at you before they couldn't go to anything else because they didn't pay their dues. all the guys saw like Ashley Burns as my name. And so they didn't want to call me Ashley because it's a girl's name, bro. And so they saw Burns and they were like, Mr. Burns. And so my entire pledge semester, anytime somebody came up to me and said, Mr. Burns, I'd have to go, excellent.
Mm.
And that was for some reason that was punishment in their eyes. But I don't get that as much these days, but like a lot of times, like if I'm in like casual company, like a bar or something like that, somebody will be like, Simpsons, right? But more than anything, I get the Ashley Burns, is that your wife?
Nice.
Brutal.
Yeah, that's the one that I still get 34 years
later.
Third
degree burn.
And you desperately want to get married is the irony of that, isn't it?
When I was in high school, I dated two girls named Ashley. Oh. Just because I was like, that's going to be my payback on society. That's how I'll get everyone back for that.
It's really hard not to date a girl. Brett's fiance's name, our wife, is named Ashley. It's like impossible.
She has a boy's name.
It's true.
You're my wife.
That tells us something about you. You like boys' names.
If you managed to go like your whole life without dating a girl named Ashley, it would be a feat, to be honest.
Yeah. Especially in the Southeast.
Really? It's pretty big here.
Oh my god. It's either Ashley, Madison, or some version of Kate Lynn, yeah. Kate Lee.
Kate Lee. Ooh. That's rough.
I had a big crush on a Brett in 8th grade, I want to say.
Brett Butler?
Oh yeah, I forgot that is a girl's name sometimes.
That's another one of those androgynous southern names.
Well, the thing is, the girls, they just eventually suck up all the boys' names and like they take them for themselves. like Devin was started as a boy's name, now it's a girl's name. Evelyn.
It's like that picture of the girl in front of the chalkboard. Like they'll just take anything now.
Evelyn's a boy's name?
It used to be.
No, come on.
Yeah, it's a southern man's name.
I got a Leslie grandpa.
Yep, that's another one. Dana.
I met a guy at a barbecue 2 years ago, and his daughter is I think she's probably like 21 or 22, like, you know, late college, and his daughter's name is Ashley. And so like when I introduced myself to him, he was like, "Oh, my daughter's name is Ashley," and I was like, "Oh yeah, well tell her she has a boy's name because that's the joking way that I respond to everyone with it." And he's like dead serious. He's like, "You know you're right," and he's like, and he goes, and he's like, I'm part of the reason why you have a girl's name now, and I'm sorry about that. And like he was so serious, and it was like, oh, well, I'm gonna go back and tell, you know, elementary school me who's crying in the cafeteria every day that you're sorry. So thank you, sir.
He has his hat in his hands, humbly.
I just came here to apologize. You don't know me, and I don't know you, but I got some words to tell you.
I don't expect you to take my word one way or another, but I just wanted to tell you that you have my condolences, sir.
Do you introduce yourself to people as Ashley?
I do now. I figure, you know, once I hit north of 30, I had to, you know, leave Burnsy at the door.
Really?
Well, then I just sounded like a retard when I was talking to people in public.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
I don't know. It's tough. It's a conflict of personality.
All right, so this song.
Okay. I don't remember the name of the duo that's behind it, but I know it's like acoustic something, and they spell acoustic like AKOOSTIK. Mm-hmm. And it's like I saw this Drew McGarry tweeted somebody tweeted it to Drew tweeted it out, and that's how I saw it this morning. And then, of course, everyone was posting it because the most popular thing in the world right now is hating the St. Louis Cardinals and their fans, which is fine. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm a Cardinals fan, and I hate most Cardinals fans. But so I saw this video, and I watched it, and it's one of those challenge videos. Like, how long can you watch this before you want to throw your computer across the room?
Yeah.
And it's like, so bad. But, I watched it the whole way through because I couldn't figure out if it's real or if it's, like, seriously some art house – like ironic mockery of everything.
A thunder troll.
Yeah, it's so bad that I think it's intentionally bad.
All right. But
if that's the case, then these guys are geniuses. Otherwise, the best part of you gotta muscle through how terrible the beginning is to get to the rap bridge.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
Let's do it. This is I forget. What's the name on it?
I can't tell. Oh, Acoustic Sessions.
Acoustic Sessions.
With a K.
Chase is on.
St. Louis Cardinals playoff song is the subtitle.
Unofficial, because there's no way in hell anyone would take credit for this.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good.
We are the Cardinals. We want to win. Now is the time. The playoffs begin. Summer is over. Hooray, October. The quest for the best will put you to the test. The chase is on. The chase is on. It's playoff baseball. The chase is on. The chase is on.
I like how it's acoustic, and then the vocals are all like heavily processed. Do you think his style was forged listening to a lot of Linkin Park?
I don't even know. It was like I couldn't even compare it to anything when I was trying to think of, like, you know, that late '90s cock rock music to compare it to.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
I've definitely heard that vocal styling before.
I'm trying to place it.
The chase is on. It's 2013. Let's get that 12th ring. Come on, get rowdy, get loud. Let's hear you scream. Let's hear you shout, get loud. Let's hear you scream. Come on, get rowdy, get loud. Let's hear you scream. Let's hear you shout, get loud. Let's hear you scream. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like a deaf Smash Mouth.
I was thinking like Chumbawamba-ish.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like the Stained acoustic, except he's that guy that like sticks his finger in his right ear so he thinks it sounds better to himself.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, the Stained acoustic. Oh God. That was a dark time
like,
in all of
but
our lives.
It's Stained acoustic. But take Aaron out of it, and it's just Fred Durst yelling in the background.
That's dark,
yeah,
man. That's
yeah,
dark.
Yeah,
get them lighters up!
Yeah, yeah! This is our time! This is our time! Let's get that 12th drink! We are the Cardinals! We want to win! Now is the time! The playoffs begin! Summer is over! Hooray!
How far are we from the rap?
I think it's coming up pretty soon.
Wait, is it Cage the Elephant? Is that what I'm thinking of?
No.
The chase is on. It's 2013. Let's get that 12th ring.
I'm thinking it's coming up after this.
Yeah, I think so.
If I was a bet man.
Wayne Wright, gonna take the mound. He's coming in, he's gonna shut you down. Molina, behind the plate, dare you to steal. It's already too late. Holiday, coming up the bat, he's about to smack. Three-run jack. Belchon, out in the field. His gold glove's like a solid shield.
We are the guys!
His gold glove is like a solid shield.
That's not even close to the right number of syllables in any of the lines. He's just sticking whole other sentences when he should just be rhyming. Awful. I feel really bad when they start singing, though, when they pick it back up. I get embarrassed all over again.
Yeah.
Of course they were already getting shredded in the comments on YouTube, but the guy was like responding to the people who were like, this is horrible and you should kill yourself. And the guy was responding like he said he didn't mean to make it like an actual song, and that he just wanted the chase is on to become like a rally cry.
Yeah, he wants a little slice of what's his face from the Giants.
top comment. You're singing way too hard. Acoustic Sessions responds. It's more of chanting, not singing. Second comment. Sorry, dude, but you're just trying too hard. That's why it doesn't sound too good. I'm trying to be helpful. Singing is just like talking, not shouting. If you relax your voice a bit, you will sound a lot better. Keep trying though, and never give up with the haters. I like the rap part at the end, Paul.
Paul is worse than the producers, because the producers at least tried for chanting, and Paul's like, don't try too hard, keep trying, just let you know, Paul.
Paul's the one guy at their shows with two of their t-shirts that he's trying to sell.
Paul is stew. Paul is who I would make into stew.
Disco stew?
No, like after the second course.
Okay.
He's the one I would cook up in his jersey.
You know, all right, so that was pretty bad, but we did have a new song for the Arc Music Factory. And I gotta say, I'm kind of baffled by how much people hate this stuff. because I kind of like it a lot. Like, anytime somebody sings a song about a really asinine subject, I just love it. I don't know why.
Well, people were freaking out about it the other day, like, of course, when we all found it. And, like, if you can't appreciate Patrice Wilson for what he's done, then, oh, God, I just feel bad for those people.
I mean, this is just pure gold. Starts with a lot of Chinese. She loves Chow Mama Main. I mean,
oh,
it's just pure joy. I love noodles.
Can you imagine the part where their parents have paid and the kid's excited and he's sitting them down trying to talk them through the things that they know enough about to make a song out of, and they're only like 12 or whatever, so they can only list 3 or 4 things.
Well, that's
all right. I guess we'll go with Chinese food. Fine.
Do you think that's how it goes? Like, I feel like if it was the kids, they'd probably want to write about something more hip or something. But he's like, nah, this has got to be really like wholesome. It's going to be about I love Chinese food.
I think he just writes he writes these songs, or like he tells them that he's going to write a song, and then like he'll go out and party with his friends, and then wake up at like 7 in the morning and be like, oh crap, I forgot to write the song. And then he gets on the bus and just looks out the window and he's like, oh, I was walking down the street and there's a homeless guy peeing in a bush and oh, Chinese food.
I hate homeless dudes. No, that's too dark.
If he'd write me a song about homeless people, I would pay to have a video like that made.
Honestly, I like that so much better than any of the Disney crap, where like somehow he hits actual wholesome so much better than they do. Where everything they do just seems like weird, creepy pedophile crap, and then I don't know. He just nails the asinine, mundane song
of preteen boredom, where you don't really know anything about the world. But
yeah, that's what preteens should be singing about. That's good. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Speaking of the Jonas Brothers, do you know they canceled their tour over creative differences?
I almost cried.
Creative? What?
Apparently, they have a mystery sober coach.
Mister, what does that mean? Unpack that for
one
me.
One of them might be, supposedly Joe might be on the coke.
What?
I don't know which one that is. Is that the fruity looking one? Oh, wait.
The goofy looking one is Kevin.
Okay.
I think. And then Nick is the one who has the TV show. And then Joe.
I honestly can't tell them apart.
Joe is the oldest one. He's the hunky one.
Okay.
Why did you end up with this piece of information? How does this intersect with your Venn diagram?
Who didn't have this piece of information?
Bro,
No. This was massive news.
It's called Hot Goss.
Oh, Ashley brought this up?
I mean, this was
the hottest of
the goss this week.
I know. That's why I was asking Vince why he was bringing this up. This is the stuff I expect from Hot Goss, but Vince is just railing it off like he's all up in Us Weekly's business.
Well, sometimes Bernsey just passes me a note under the table.
I only get them as like I literally will be sitting here and a brick will fly through my window with a note written and tied around it, and it's like, oh hey, Hot Goss, Nick and Joe Jonas are fighting because they were banging the same dude.
Okay. All right.
And that dude was Kevin Jonas.
The brothers, along with their father, Kevin Jonas Sr., discussed one idea focused on slightly changing their name by dropping Brothers and simply going by Jonas. The core debate was over whether or not they would rebrand with an edgier look and sound to reflect that they were all now 20-something-year-old guys, or whether they would simply continue to extend the wholesome Jonas Brothers image. The brothers, along with their father, Kevin Jonas Sr., discussed the thought, but the collective decision was to continue going by Jonas Brothers. However, the bigger conflict was deciding their style of music. According to our sources, Nick continued to write and produce most of the songs on their album V, and the songs reflected what was ultimately a compromise between Joe, who wanted a new rock sound, and Nick, who wanted a development of their old sound with a jazzy feel, including horns and all. Their first single, Pom Poms, a double entendre about girls shaking their body parts, was a representation of this evolution. Have you ever heard one of their songs? I really want to play you a song, because...
I've heard that one, that Go Back to Montreal song or whatever.
I heard one song that they did the other day, and it was like... It was like
an anti-immigration rally song? What the fuck?
It was like
the Jonas Brothers are serious racists.
Go back to Montreal.
They are serious Klans members. I know that for fact. I'll report that on the record, and they can sue me, and I'll win.
I heard some song. I was at Eric Berry's doing his podcast, and they just have like an autoplay radio station between, and the song came on, and it was this horrible cover, and I couldn't tell what it was. I was like, this sounds like overproduced Newfound Glory, but gayer or something. And I was like, what the hell is this? And it turned out it was the Jonas Brothers. This is Pom Poms. I don't know what this sounds like. We're going to find out all together. You guys ready?
No, I'm trying not to groan as much over stuff you play.
No, people love your groans. You're the designated groaner. Oh, yes. God. I mean, so far so good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That opening sounded like the fast, like, boss part of an 80s video game.
It definitely sounded like a video game song. I feel like every band that you hear like that, where you just listen to it and you go, man, like, if they had any friends growing up, they definitely would have gotten their asses kicked for this. I feel like all those people eventually headed for a breakdown. Almost
but
always.
Wait. Was that Pom Pom song, was that supposed to be the evolution that they wanted, or was that the shit they were trying to get away from?
I think that was their compromise. You know, it was their magical mystery tour.
That was horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I never talked. He had a band and he wanted to do a song like that.
Do you guys want to hear the Yelling Goat remix of Alice in Gold?
Let's listen to the Yelling Goat songs for like the next 2 days. Be the first ever 48-hour broadcast.
I was hoping for a last one in there.
That's it?
Yeah, they didn't get a last one. It's all right.
Oh. What's that thing where you don't finish off the octave or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about
tonic.
Music. You leave off the hanging note.
Yeah, I forget what it's called.
I just need one more goat scream, man. Just one more.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw 12 Years a Slave this week, you guys. It was so slavery-y.
That movie looks depressing.
It's I find it horrible. I think it's torture porn for intellectuals.
Ugh.
But pretty much everybody loves it except for Armand White, which scares me a little bit about my own opinion.
He always comes back around to being totally correct. He's just got a love for the hate.
Right. He does it for the love of hatred.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there'll be a shot of them sort of like, what's his name's Chewie, our boy Chewie is getting lynched at one point, and then they sort of cut him down halfway through, but they don't fully cut him down. They just sort of they tie him up to the tree where he can stand on his tippy toes and sort of not choke, which is an intense scene, but then it just leaves the camera on him for like 2 minutes straight or something, where you're just like watching him do that for the longest time. And it's sort of like, at that point, it's not even about the slavery anymore. It's like about his camera tricks, and it just bugs the hell out of me. It was like that scene, and did either of you guys see Shame?
No.
You never saw it? Oh, damn it.
Was that the one with...
That was Fassbender's penis.
That was
movie?
Fassbender's penis.
Yeah, there's one.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
There's one scene where Carey Mulligan is singing a song. She's singing like, I think it's like New York, New York. She's singing a lounge singer song. First of all, that's like the ultimate artsy movie cliche where someone's a lounge singer and that's like their job, because that's not a real job. But for some reason, artsy.
Do
movies,
those exist anymore?
I don't think there is a person that sings standards in smoky bars and makes money from it. I don't think that.
No, because you can't even smoke in bars anymore.
Yeah, that's true. So there's one scene in Shame where she's just singing this like 1/3 speed rendition of New York, New York, and it lets her sing the entire song. It's just a close-up shot of her singing. It's like 6 minutes of her singing the song that she's singing flat like the entire time, and it's like bringing Michael Fassbender to a tear. And I don't know, people just get a kick where it's like, oh man, it's such an unflinching look at slavery. And it's like, no, that's just a really long, way too long camera shot that doesn't do anything except draw attention to the director.
Yeah, that doesn't sound entertaining at all.
Yeah.
But I don't like saying that because I'm afraid that makes me sound insensitive.
Well, yeah, I'm a horrible racist because I didn't like that movie. Which
like
means,
I threw a Columbus Day party.
Did you?
And now my neighbors hate me.
Really? Are they Indians?
Yes.
Or do you just call them Indians?
Like they live in a teepee and everything. It's really fucking weird.
I just call them Indians. They're on the left side. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, when we walk out in the morning at the same time to get our newspapers, I'm like, how?
Yeah, you put your two fingers up on one side?
When it gets cold, I bring them blankets. It's really, really a good relationship.
Okay. We had a couple questions.
Ooh.
Movie topic. We'll do that one. How about that? Dear Frogcast, I'm going to Hawaii on my honeymoon. And whenever I tell people, they usually bring up Forgetting Sarah Marshall. No one ever brings up the Descendants, but because, man, was that movie forgettable. What city, state, country do you think brings up a corresponding movie the most? Like, ooh. whenever someone mentions The Wire, always factors into the conversation.
Yeah, damn, that's The Wire, good. Man, people cannot finish a sentence with Baltimore in it without The Wire.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Rocky and the Steps in Philadelphia.
And there's Philadelphia, the movie in Philadelphia.
Right. Anytime. I think Rocky comes up more than Philadelphia, oddly.
Depends on who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it need to be...
Hello.
No, go ahead.
Does it need to be a non-major city? Because I feel like every third movie is set in L.A. and the other two are in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sex in the City obviously makes me think of New York or Law and Order.
I'm trying to think of more obscure.
Yeah, you got it. That's what I'm saying. You can't pick New York or L.A.
I mean, there's Cedar Rapids.
I mean, like take any John Hughes movie.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like any town. Illinois.
Wayne's World, Aurora, Illinois. Yeah,
what's a Texas movie?
What's a Texas movie?
Yeah, name a movie that isn't Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Bottle Rocket?
I'm just trying to think.
Dazed and Confused. That's a good Texas movie.
Yeah, and then you got Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
It's a show.
It's a movie.
TV.
Dallas.
Oh, it is. It is. You're right.
It's a movie that led to a TV show, and some people told me it was like a book or something.
Oh, gross.
What? Nuh-uh.
Those people are nerds.
Shut up. It's not a book, dude. You're fucking.
I'm trying to picture movies that have like, you know, like sweeping visual. You know, like boom. Here's Paris.
There was Forget Paris with Billy Crystal, where he played a basketball referee.
God, that's right.
But you would never bring that up in a conversation about Paris. I think that's the other side of the transaction is the part that makes it. Like, people can literally not say Baltimore without quoting The Wire.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, I think of Dirty Harry in San Francisco, but I don't know if that's only because I live here.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come back.
I think more like Full House in San Francisco.
That's yeah.
True. We'll circle back to that. We had a couple responses to the guy whose brother had banged his girlfriend and now he had
to
be...
I was going
to
ask if we ever heard back about that.
We didn't hear back from the guy. If you're out there, buddy, tell us how it went, what went down. We have some advice from commenter Larry, who says, "Hello, regarding the letter from last week about the cuckolding brother, you need to tell the dude not to be best man. Everybody else is wrong about this." Brett had some strong opinions. I think Brett might have had the strongest opinion about that.
It's not a pet peeve because it makes me want to kill. But I have very strong emotional reactions to withholding, like, traitorous actions, you know, where someone betrays you and then rather than immediately telling you about it, they hold it out. Like, that just irks the shit out of me in a personal relationship sense.
Brett, come on.
What?
I've done so many traitorous things I've never told you about.
And I know, and as soon as I find out about them, you're just going
to
drop down the list.
Well, that's the thing about traitorous actions. People are not usually forthcoming about them because they don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, but that's the... I have such a begrudging respect for humans who are like, "Sorry, I banged her."
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's one of those high-risk, high-reward situations.
Yeah, I don't expect that to play out well in every situation. I'm just saying that's the way you handle it with me. You betray me, you have to let me know about it very quickly.
Okay.
I feel much more angry about having been made the fool behind my back than have been slighted in the first place.
Duly noted.
But I think it's fun if people hold on to that kind of stuff, because then, like, if you're still friends 40 years down the road, you could be like, "Hey, by the way," and then you laugh about it. Right. Especially if it's like a situation where that "hey, by the way" is that he's the real father of your kid.
Right as he's about to die.
And he's like, "By the way, I didn't pay for shit."
I love that the World War Z South Park where the guy's dying and he's like, "You need to kill patient zero." And Cartman's like, You're right. I need to find him and stop the blacks from taking over." And the pilot's like, "Yeah, wait, what?" And then he just dies.
How depressing was that? That they missed their deadline for the first time ever this week.
Well, they said it was because they had a power outage.
Or did they?
Mm.
Did you guys watch the making of?
I did.
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize that Bill Hader was a writer at that point.
I feel like he's involved in everything that happens to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
He might make the subway trains run. He might actually be in charge of the sun.
Okay.
He just seems omnipresent somehow. I think it's his cheek structure.
All right. He's got a good voice.
He's a lurker is what he is. He's a lurker. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably behind all of the objects in my apartment.
Mm.
That's awesome.
You don't want to.
That's deep.
You got to dust him, man. You got to move the furniture out and dust him. Otherwise, you're going to get mites. You got to dust Bill Hader.
I love 99.99% of what that guy does, except the one T-Mobile commercial where his phone is ringing and he doesn't answer it because the screen's cracked and he cuts his finger. Because every time that commercial comes on, I think my phone's ringing. And then it's not ringing. It just reminds me that I don't have any friends.
Oh. All right, next email. "Hey, Frop Bros. Vince referenced being a substitute teacher in an article this week. The obvious catastrophe this must have been is low-hanging fruit. So instead I ask, how fucking awesome would it have been to have Vince as a sub? I could have learned how to shave my ass and not lose my virginity all in one class. I could have my MFA in postmodern feminist basket weaving by now. In all seriousness, though, you should go back to that shit. It's easy and chicks dig it. Love, Austin." Hey, man, I was good at it. Whatever.
I did that one time.
One time? That's it?
Yeah. I think it was after the first time I got laid off from a job after college. And I went and did that, and it was like the most terrifying thing I'd ever done.
You're thinking, man, I've got some life lessons to impart. I need to get in front of some children immediately.
I think I brought like a bag and had like 5 DVDs in it because I was like, I'll just show a movie.
Yeah.
And then I got in and just like froze up because I realized that like I had no idea what to say to kids about anything.
Well, how old were they?
Middle school.
Yeah. They always, when they get you, when you're a young sub, they're like, oh, you should teach middle school, which, you know, because no one else wants to teach middle school because it's awful.
Because it's the worst.
Oh, it's by far the worst. That's
what
I taught.
Absolutely the worst years.
Eighth grade is easily the worst year in a person's life ever.
Oh, and they're all so stinky, and they don't know how stinky they are.
They have no clue. Their parents don't know yet.
Oh, and some of them have those little mustaches, and you're like, oh, get rid of that little mustache. Yeah. You smell.
and their entire identity is wrapped up in telling you to go fuck yourself. Like the person who can tell you to fuck yourself the best is the most popular kid. Even if you're like, hey, kids, you guys want to like smoke weed and eat chocolate? And the kid who's like, fuck you, I want to read books. They're like, oh, dude, Mikey's so cool. Because, I mean, at that age, their whole thing is like, you know, you have to tell adults to go fuck themselves to prove that you're also an adult. That's the psychology.
And if you're already pretty beat up because you're stuck substitute teaching, the best response is just to be like, okay.
Yeah, let's see, one time my substitute taught PE and they didn't give me a whistle, and
which has got to be infuriating for you of all people to not have a noise making device.
Well, there's just people spread out across a giant field. First of all, no one respects the regular gym teacher. Like, I remember going to PE in seventh grade. We were supposed to play like tennis one day, and we just took all the balls and just pitched them to each other and hit them as far as we could out in the field. Just because. And so, like, if you're a substitute gym teacher, I mean, come on. Like, that's the absolute lowest rung of respect on the ladder. Actually, the three that I remember were teaching art, band, and gym, which are like, no one's going to respect the sub in any of those things. But definitely for the gym teaching, they were just all spread out around a field. And at one point, like, I found a different register of yelling that I didn't even know that I had in my body. Because, you know, I'm just yelling at them to come in. I'm like, hey, guys, bring the ball in. All right, guys, hey, you guys, bring the ball. Hey. And then no one's paying attention to me. And then I just find this completely different register of yelling that I didn't even know I had. I was like, bring the ball in! And then like the entire field turned to look. And apparently that's what you have to do to get their attention, is just yell at the top of your lungs.
Did you get them to bring the ball in?
They did, yeah. They actually scared them a lot.
Yeah, but then they go home and tell on you, and then you get sued.
Yeah, and they have lots of weird rules about like when you could go into the locker room. You had to tell them to go into the locker room, but you couldn't. You had to wait a certain amount of time, and then you had to go in. It was weird. I didn't understand it. And then I overheard this girl telling this other girl. She's like, oh, you should come to my house this weekend. She's like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, my family's having a big party. And then the girl's like, oh, cool. She's like, yeah, my brother's going to prison this weekend, so like we're throwing him a big party before he goes.
God.
So, yeah, and then on the way out, in the parking lot, like I was in the teacher's lot, and the car next to mine had just fag keyed into the door. Like one of the kids had just keyed fag into the side door of this guy's car. That was fun. That was my sub experience.
Was it at least spelled right?
Yeah, it was.
All right, well, that's a good sign.
Yeah, to the kid's credit. Yeah, that's how you know it's a good school.
You know what we had, and now that I'm thinking about it, like, and how terrifying it would be putting myself in this situation, thinking about, like, you know, being a substitute gym teacher. We had archery in our middle school gym class. And I think back to that, to the way we all fucked around and just like fired the arrows off into the air. Like I can't even, oh, that's, I look
just straight up.
Oh yeah. We were just firing them straight up in the air or off into the distance. Never at the target. That was just stupid.
That's like the Garden State scene.
And I just think back to how all of us, you know, moved on with both eyes intact.
Yeah.
Not One-Eyed Pete. Poor One-Eyed Pete.
Except for One-Eyed Pete.
R.I.P. One-Eyed Pete and Blowjob Stacy.
All right, this one's a little longer email, but I'm going to read it anyway, because why not, you know? You guys down?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. Before I start and color any compliment I give with my question, can I just say, Ben, you're one brave man. It can't be easy staying so funny and optimistic with what you're going through, especially when you're living with a man who has all the tact and sensitivity of a Westboro Baptist Church protest. Don't ever change, Vince. I hope you get the all clear soon. My thoughts and prayers are with you, bro. Stay fraught strong. So after last week's email about the guy who did his brother's girlfriend, I have a question. Is it ever okay to get with your brother's ex? I was recently back in my hometown and was killing time before I met up with friends when I bumped into my little brother's ex-girlfriend. They broke up about 6 years ago after being together for a little over four. We all kept in touch as she lives locally, but I hadn't seen her in a few years thanks to my job. Anyway, in that period, she apparently went through a late growth spurt, possibly several, and has developed into quite the woman. We chatted and she suggested we catch up over a coffee. I should have realized what something was up when she picked a virtually empty coffee shop and then picked the most out-of-the-way, hard-to-see table in the place. We talked and she started hitting on me. Hard. Not to say I wasn't doing my share, but she was definitely doing the heavy lifting. She kept dipping her finger in her cappuccino and then sucking the foam off. At one point she started massaging my neck and telling me how stiff I was, and finally she dabbed some of the cappuccino cream on her tit, lifted it up, and licked it off. Like I say, the shop... The shop was deserted, but still, holy shit. Now I'm pretty sure if this had gone on for much longer, we would have been fucking in the toilet, but fortunately we were interrupted by a friend of hers. She left with her friend, but told me to get in touch whenever I was around, and I was left to ponder, as my blood returned to my brain, the possible ramifications of the choice I would have made. Any advice? On the one hand, I don't want to be the guy who fucks the girl's little brother lost his virginity to in a coffee shop toilet at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, but on the other hand, she's hot and her tits are gigantic. Also, I have terrible impulse control, very little shame, and to paraphrase Matt Ufford, my penis does all my thinking. These traits are only made worse when combined with alcohol. I'll likely be moving home soon due to the company I work for closing down. Her and my social circles overlap substantially, so this isn't something I can avoid. I'm guessing you'll recommend talking to my brother about it, but what if he says he's not cool with it? He's happily almost married, but you can see the reasons why he wouldn't exactly be cheering me on. Should I chance it, meet up with her, and take the consequences of whatever his reaction is, or talk to him, hope he's cool with it, and if he's not, face the probability that I fuck up majorly down the line, and that his reaction will be worse if I knew his feelings on the matter? At least in the first option, I had plausible deniability. Is this for real? No, well, I thought it was a joke after he said the cappuccino cream.
Yeah, it's like a spam bot read how to be sexy and then was trying to enact it.
It's like when you watch no human
acts like that.
And then she pulled a banana out of her purse and dipped it in the coffee and started blowing it.
Yeah, it's like the porno where the girl takes the vibrator and starts sucking on it, and you're like, oh, no, no, honey, no. That's not, no.
It breaks all her teeth.
Just sexily spitting out shards of tooth. You like that?
Should we treat this as a real question and give it serious advice?
There's just something.
I don't think you ask for permission.
There's
I think
just
you have to tell your brother, hey, there's a good chance I bone your lady.
Really? I mean, it's like, it shouldn't matter to him. I mean, for like, to me, I don't know. I guess I'd have to see how large these boobies were. But like, there's just something about saying, oh, okay, I'm about to have sex with my brother's ex-girlfriend. It's just weird.
Do you have a brother, Bernsey?
Yeah, I have an older brother.
Okay. See, I don't have a brother, so I don't necessarily have a frame of reference. I guess I could just like compare it to a friend.
They're like goldfish.
Okay.
Brothers are like goldfish.
So like my dog has a girlfriend.
Yeah, and that you have to tell them when you're going to potentially bang their ex.
Yeah.
Like you don't get to take the easy road out because you're like, I have weak self-control. Like that's garbage. That's a garbage thing to do. Like if you know that you're not going to be able to like withstand the temptation of her cappuccino-laced boobs, then just be straight with them. Be like, look, she seems like she's batshit crazy and I'm into that. I'm into that.
You just say, what, deal with it?
No, you need to take on, like, if you're, like, he's already sort of, like, hedging his bets against, like, oh, well, I'm going to do it, but I kind of care, but I don't really want to have to, like, you know, be responsible.
So you're saying, tell, don't ask.
I think you got to be straight with everyone. You say, look, I am not going to control myself. There's a very, I'm going to put up the minimum amount of effort possible to not bang your ex, but there's a good chance that it happens.
And then if he says you shouldn't do that,
then you deal with the consequences. Like, right. It's not, he's not going, his saying that isn't going to be able to stop you from not exerting self-control.
Yeah.
I disagree. I say you do it, then tell him that you might do it or you have the opportunity to do it. And if he says yes, then you're in the clear. If he says no, then you're like, oh, don't worry. I would never do that to you anyways. And yeah, whatever.
I mean, unless he's super handsome, or she's just like totally batshit crazy. Like, the brother still factors into this scenario. So there's a good chance he finds out about it through her either way. Like, that's not a normal way to go about. That's not a normal way to go about interaction with any human being.
Oh, if she ends up telling him down the road, you'd just be like, oh, that never happened. She's crazy.
Come on.
I told you that bitch crazy.
Bro, you remember how crazy she was.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah, I'll go with Brett. Just tell him and deal with the consequences.
You would.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, I don't know. That's, you don't.
But what's the statute of limitations on that?
On honesty, I think you tell them up front and you're cleared to do whatever. No, you just need transparency.
I mean, it's been 5 years. Why does it matter?
If you've moved on, you shouldn't, like, you really shouldn't.
If he's almost married.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't care about who your ex is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The brother should be like, yeah, go to town. I mean, that is the correct response from the brother. But that doesn't mean you're absolved from having to tell him about it.
Yeah, but the guy's, you know, down on his luck or whatever. He could use it.
But I will say this: if you go to your brother and he says go to town on that bitch, then you make a video
and show it to him when he's not expecting it.
No, I say when you go back to talk to her, you tell her that, oh, my brother said that he would kill me if you and I hooked up.
Yes,
he would hate it. You know, you gotta make it like you're a forbidden fruit because chicks want to bite that apple. You know what I'm saying?
This is all under the assumption that she's not gonna cut his face off while he sleeps.
Yeah,
you know, this is a. I think he should do a little bit of due diligence and find out what type of crazy she actually is.
Right.
Before deciding, like, I think telling the brother is the least of his concerns in this particular scenario.
Look, man, if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's that there's no guarantees when it comes to getting your face cut off. You never know.
I don't know how crazy a girl is when she's dipping her boobie in coffee.
just making that little heart in the cappuccino foam.
She seems very stable.
Look,
I think you take her home to mom and you put a ring on. That's what I'm saying.
Crazy.
I don't know. Maybe the dude's super good looking and this happens all the time. I've maybe three times encountered a situation similar, and it was always due to crazy.
Crazy would be if she pulled out her boob and like sprayed her own milk in it.
or sprayed it in your coffee. Here, try this. All right. Well, we got another question. We got a lot of questions. I'm happy to answer these if you are.
We're men of the people.
Exactly. That's right. Dear Frogcast, 3 years ago, a couple of my wife's best friends moved away, and I quit playing rugby, and those were the basis of our social life. But she wanted a group of people to hang out with, so she instituted Operation Friends. We made some co-ed sports teams, inviting people we knew from one way or another, and everyone got real hunky-dory, and now it's been 3 years, and these people are in each other's weddings, and most weekends I have to go to one of their houses for something or other. But these are people just artificially brought together by my wife's Operation Friends. They're okay, but really soft and boring and loud in it, and I don't dislike them, but whenever we have to hang out, I watch the clock.
Can we pause and say how awesome it is to state that they are soft and boring and loud in it?
Yeah. Whenever we hang out, I watch the clock. Are these my friends now? I like and enjoy being around a bunch of college and other friends the way I don't enjoy this group. And I don't want to be an ass always acting like I don't want to be where I am. But I think I should keep some sort of self-identity, and that identity is not with this group. So, do I just wait it out? Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's tough.
My ex-girlfriend was into theater and stuff, and I mean, I there's a lot of theater people that I like, especially that I meet a lot of through my job. But there are certain groups of like drama clubby people where they're just sort of loud with all of their interactions. Like every story they tell is very just energetic, and and they have like they make everything seem like it, like oh, and then this happened. It was everything is like overly dramatized and made to sound crazy, and it's like exhausting to be around them because like I can't match their energy, and so the whole time I just sit there feeling like an ass because there's no possible way that I could match their energy, and it was hard for me to be around them, and I tried to opt out as much as possible. So yeah, I don't really have an answer for that. That's just.
What do you have? You made friends because you didn't have any friends before?
Have I?
Like, is that a situation where you're like, I don't have any friends, I need to make some friends?
I've never done that.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I'm either. Sort of, I'm like on the cusp of that situation now where because of my job, I'm kind of like, I don't meet any, it's more for meeting girls than meeting anybody else, but I'm like, I don't meet that many people because I don't have an office to go into. And so I need to like create sort of these artificial, like you said, playing like sports or doing volunteer work where you sort of meet people through that. I've been debating doing that. I don't know.
I just don't have friends when I don't have friends.
Yeah.
I always like mock, you know, we have like a lot of those like pub crawls and stuff where, you know, people sign up and pay $30 to go to 7 bars with a group of people that never met before. And like, I always mocked it before, but then I didn't realize that, you know, a lot of people do it when they move to town and they don't know anybody. They go on those to try to meet people and find friends or whatever. So I've never actually been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the whole his whole idea of, you know, joining like rec league sports or whatever, I did like rec league kickball for like 2 years, and I saw how people interact like that, and I kind of have an idea of what he's going through as far as like, are these my friends now? Because I had people who would just like call me, like when we weren't playing, they would call me out of the blue and be like, hey bro, want to go to happy hour?
Yeah.
And I was like, we play kickball together, we're not actually friends.
There's a weird thing where it's like you want friends, but the minute you can feel somebody's neediness where they're like, I desperately need you to be my friend, it makes you want to run away. Is that sort of the way it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You never trust the first person that wants to be your friend.
Yeah, there's something weird about it. Like you have to, it's like you sort of just have to fall into it. And then, yeah, it's a weird thing.
I always prefer to like, you know, kind of gravitate towards the people who are more like me, that I know I'm going to like spend eternity in hell with, as opposed to, you know, trying hard and like, hey, we should go do this together because this is a mutual interest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing.
I don't like trying hard for people because I don't like meeting new people. I don't like going outside. I mean, I'm in Florida, so I'll get killed 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I would say wait. I mean, I don't know what you can do other than wait it out and try to opt out from as many of the things that you don't want to go to.
But if he wants to get out of it, just tell, like, he should just pretend that he moved.
Okay.
Just be like, hey guys, I don't live here anymore. And then if he runs into them, be like, just visiting, didn't have time.
I like that. We had an email. Brett was questioning the Georgia Tech email from last week.
Yes, which it turns out is totally true, but yeah. Still kind of fake because he was apparently making it as a joke. Like, well, he apologized and everything.
Well, he clearly was making it as a joke. It just wasn't a very good one or funny.
True. Yep.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I think it's bullshit to take any of those emails out of context and sort of judge people for them. It's like you're writing it to, like, you change the context completely. Like, if you took one of, like, Joe's or my texts to each other, it's like, I'm sure it would sound fucking horrible because, like, our whole point is to try and disgust and revolt each other.
Yeah, you're fucking around with your completely numb sensibilities. You're like, did I see you move? Did I see your face twitch a little bit?
Yeah, and it's like, it's not what anybody actually think. I don't think that's necessarily what was going on in the Georgia Tech email, but it's like, it's not what anybody actually thinks, and it's not, obviously we know the target audience and we're adjusting accordingly.
Yeah.
And no one's getting hurt.
It's the same thing with the line drawing. It's just line drawing removes context. It's like, I need to make you into a bad guy, and it doesn't really matter that you've got 17 other traits that outweigh this one bad part of your personality.
Yeah. But that's all you get. Good morning, Frot Masters. Just wanted to congratulate you all, especially Matt Lieb, on the last Frotcast. The final 10 minutes had me laughing harder than I have in a long time. My favorite lines? No! No! That's fake! Act scared! I can't! It's too fucking hot! And of course, now I'm sinking! Oh, cruel fate! And then he sent us a link to, there's apparently, they're doing the Lion Tacos, which started in Florida, but now they're in the Bay Area. Bernsey, did you ever get out to the Lion Taco place?
No, I meant to tell you, actually, that place, they got, well, I told you guys this a while back, but they got forced to stop selling that stuff, even though it's perfectly legal. And then, too many people freaked out about it, and they just closed for good, I think, like 2 weeks ago.
Interesting.
So I never got to eat lion.
The meat is farm-raised African lion that comes from Illinois. One skewer, 3 cubes, 5 ounces will set a customer back $70. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm down with eating the lion.
Nah, it's, we went over this. It's kind of perverse to kill off a rival and then eat the rival.
Yeah.
And well, the fact that it's farm-raised makes it sound even worse. Because it's some punk bitch lion that just, you know, is raised to be eaten.
Well, how many cows do you have to feed a lion before it reaches adulthood? And cows are expensive to build from scratch. Just, and you're holding all that dead cow in the lion. I don't know. You don't want to eat, you want to eat towards the bottom of the pyramid. Eat shrimps and shit.
Yeah.
I just want a steak.
All right, we got an email from a gravity hater.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry I have to do this. I dragged 3 unsuspecting people with me to see Gravity this weekend. It takes a lot for me to want to see a movie in the theater, but the Frotcast last week convinced me I needed to stop being a Jew and drop some dollars on this one. I'd skip forward after the spoiler warning on the Frotcast, and halfway through the movie I was wondering if I'd been punked. How did not one of you hate this movie? It was beautifully shot, I will give you that. But if I wanted beautiful images of space, I'd fuck around with and then some link for free and learn something in the process. Was there a story in this movie? I'm sorry, but I cannot get on board with watching Sandra Bullock talk to her dead baby or Ghost Clooney for an hour and a half. The shot of her floating in the fetal position? Get it? Like an infant in the womb? Rebirth, you guys. Then, with her crawling out of the water at the end? My eyes couldn't roll out of my skull hard enough. Don't forget all the shots of all the different religious symbols. I can't believe none of you took issue with these things. Where's my voice of reason? Brett, what has marriage done to you? The movie was beautiful and gave me some hypertension early on, but even Avatar has more substance. Yes, it's a story that's been told ad nauseum, but at least it's a story. I wouldn't have cared one iota if Bullock's reentry had killed her, and I cared even less about her dead kid. I didn't need the conversation with the guy with his dogs and crying baby. Maybe I should have had some edibles before the movie to enhance the experience, but goddamn, I left the theater pissed off.
I don't know why you would be looking for a story. Stories are the worst thing ever. It's just like, that was what I appreciated about Gravity. It was like, look, this is a giant picture, and it's a rhythmic tension, and the story is only there to improve the rhythmic tension, and there's very little of it, which I appreciated enormously. Like, if your solution to Gravity is to add more story, not really what I'm looking for in pretty much anything.
And I tend to be the guy who wants story, but I agree with Brett on this one. Like, the whole point was that there's the villain is space, the villain is vastness, and
or the whole junk. There's pieces of stuff, and yeah, it's slightly out of frame, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it's either, I feel like it's either you either have a visceral reaction to the vastness of space, or you don't. And, you know, maybe if you don't, I was so shit pants shit. I was like so scared that I didn't even really think about, you know, the story elements that much.
The
I was
story
just sort of
is
thinking,
only there so that you can move from one terrifying shot setup to the next.
Agreed.
And that's exactly the amount of story it needed.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this guy just needs to read a book instead of go see Gravity.
It's
and
a girl.
And that's totally
but
gonna fulfill his urge.
Her, but yes.
Her.
Yeah, I'm with you. Burns, did you end up seeing it?
No, and you guys can spoil the hell out of it for me because
it's all spacey. There's space everywhere.
Yeah, I have no interest at all in watching someone float around space because that shit terrifies me.
Fair, and that's why I like it because it's one of those I mean, I'm sure it's somewhat subjective, but it's either you either have a inherent fear of that stuff or you don't.
And I don't want to like completely poop on story. There are times where story is important, and that having a good one is the difference between it being dumb and it being really good. And Gravity is not one of those situations. Like, it is very specific in what it is.
I agree.
And story is what it is not.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with Brett on this one, you guys, so step off. What's up, Frauders and Burnsy? Oh, look at that. You're here. You got it addressed on this one. You excited?
Oh, no. These usually scare me because people don't like me very much.
Burnsy Fan 66 loves you.
Oh, he's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Love you.
I recently moved to a new city for university and started doing stand-up again. I'm 21, so I'm fairly young compared to others, but getting great opportunities. I recently did an open mic where I had a great set that went over my time by a minute or so. Everyone else had, so I didn't think anything of it. The guy after me wasn't as happy with me, though, and yelled at me about it. He's proceeded to ignore me every time since then that he's seen me, often incredibly obviously intentionally. He's 43. Should I just brush it off or confront him about being a bitch? Fraught strong.
Man.
I have an answer to this one. Don't confront him, because the whole thing was the idea of running the light, like, theoretically, is, like, you're not supposed to run the light. But also, if you run the light by a minute, that's, like, not a big deal. Like, he's obviously... He decided that you're a young comedian and that you haven't earned the right to run the light. And when you're an older stand-up comic and everything, like, you're part of the scene when you're not really... For a lot of people, it's not really about the comedy as much as it's about this sort of hierarchical social community that you're part of. So some of the older guys expect the younger people to be like deferential and not run the light. And, you know, they're trying to teach you the hard way, like, oh, he ran the light, so we got to teach him a lesson. So this guy just wants to think that he's teaching you a lesson. So just take your shit and brush it off. Like, do you really care what he thinks? Let him ignore you a few times, and I'm sure he'll get over it eventually.
Seems like the regional manager of a Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly the same situation.
Petty tyrants that...
Yeah, it's exactly...
Burnsy, are you scared that Burnsy Fan 66 is your The Wire? And that whenever you, as Baltimore, are mentioned, he will be mentioned in the next breath? Is that your ultimate nightmare?
I think my ultimate nightmare is like finding out that it's actually a girl that I used to date. And she's just biding her time because she had like my child or something.
Reproduction is your ultimate nightmare.
But that's also, in fairness, that's like my ultimate nightmare regarding every situation. Like if I was in gravity and I floated off into outer space, I'm afraid that like on a pass around the moon, like, an ex-girlfriend would pop up in a spacesuit with, like, my space baby. Aw, shucks.
Sandra Bullock?
No, I'd like that. Have you seen her legs lately? Good lord.
Apparently they're nice.
She's got some yams, my friends.
Aren't they gams?
Gams?
I think it's gams, isn't it?
Thanksgiving's approaching. I'm getting hungry.
All right, last thing. The Michael Bay incident. I don't know if you guys read the story. But some guy apparently tried to attack Michael Bay with an air conditioner.
Like out of a window?
Yes. I think.
He tried to push an air conditioner out of a window.
No, he was holding it. Apparently the guy was wielding it.
What?
Yeah. All right.
You know how heavy those are?
I know. They're really heavy. Man, well, it's in Hong Kong. It could be like a small Chinese one or something. Here's Michael Bay's...
we can't confirm that it's not an ogre?
No, we can't. I mean, it might be. I doubt it, though.
Damn, you're damn straight it might be.
They don't grow them that big in Hong Kong. Here's
air conditioners or ogres?
Either. I think, one is related to the other.
It's true. They're natural enemies.
This is Michael Bay's message to his own message board about this, entitled Hong Kong Incident. Hi, it's Michael. Yes, the story is being passed around. The story being passed around is not true at all. Yes, some drugged up guys were being belligerent asses to my crew for a few hours in the morning of our first shoot day in Hong Kong. One guy rolled metal carts into some of my actors, trying to shake us down for thousands of dollars to not play his loud music or hit us with bricks.
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? I'm just here playing my brick music.
He just throws
you guys are obviously in the way.
He just throws a brick at you. What the fuck? Give $5. Every vendor where we shot got paid a fair price for inconvenience, but he wanted four times that amount. I like that they actually paid him not to throw bricks. Here's $10,000 in non-brick throwing money. I personally told this man and his friends to forget it. We were not going to let him extort us. He didn't like that answer. So an hour later, he came by my crew as we were shooting, carrying a long air conditioner unit. A long air conditioner unit? Like maybe a tube or something? I don't get it.
I'm picturing, I think it's one of those window units that's like, you know, like 3.5 feet, 4 feet long and about a foot thick.
But those things are like at least 50 pounds.
No, not the cheap window kind. I had one back in the day that was like 10 pounds tops.
Really?
Okay, I looked it up. There's thin ones that look like they're maybe like 8 inches tall. They just go in the bottom of your window,
yeah,
it's like.
Yeah.
Side note, we were in, when my friend Justin was in New Orleans the first time, he pointed to one of those and explained to someone that he'd never seen a window air conditioning unit before, and they all thought it was like the funniest thing that they'd ever heard. I think it's kind of funny too. Anyway, he walked right up to me.
What were you guys doing in New Orleans?
Just riding scooters, scooter gang. All right. We had a gang of Vespas. It was pretty solid. I would highly recommend renting scooters in New Orleans if you're doing that. It's like $100 and you just get to ride a Vespa around all day like a badass.
That does sound rad, bro.
It really was. If you get five guys all with mustaches on Vespas, it's pretty legit.
Did you guys wear tank tops?
No, we should. Oh, man, that would have been great. That would have been a good
idea. Tank tops, man. Let the arms breathe.
Yeah, let the guns out.
Let the locals know what they're fucking with, man.
That's right. He walked right up to me and tried to smack my face, but I ducked, threw the air unit on the floor, and pushed him away. That's when the security jumped on him. But it took seven guys to subdue him. It was like
Do you think he just has these goggles in his eyes that just project his awesome world onto everything?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, then I karate chopped him and he exploded. Then I went to bed on a dragon because that's where I sleep, in the air.
I've always said he sees the world in sluts and clowns, where everybody's either a slut or a clown. Like, slut, clown, slut. Everyone's either like some goofy loser that's there for comedy relief or someone to be exploited.
What happens if he turns the goggles on himself?
Ooh. I think he just gets more awesome.
He just chubs up.
Yeah. But it took seven guys to subdue him. It was like a zombie in Brad Pitt's movie World War Z. He lifted seven guys up and tried to bite them. He actually bit into one of the guard's Nike shoe. Insane. Thank God it was an Air Max. The bubble popped, but the toe was saved.
This guy fucking lizard man?
I like how there's product placement even in his...
Yeah, he can't... His train of thought must be exactly like watching Transformers, and that is terrifying.
Then it took 15 Hong Kong cops and riot gear to deal with these punks.
How do you even have synapses that are wired like that? And then an airplane crashed into him, but he didn't care. He's on fire. He's chasing me. And then I tripped him, and then he exploded.
I hit him right in the gas tank. Kablooey. In all, four guys...
He melted like the T-1000.
Everything's just one glare away from just bursting into flame.
Well, you hit it the wrong way.
You just got to get the angle right.
Ah, exactly. In all, four guys were arrested for assaulting the officers. After that, we had a great day shooting here in Hong Kong. So there you have it.
Now, conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
This comes on the heels of last week's story that Shia LaBeouf got his ass kicked in London. Do you think that because of their little beef with each other, that Michael Bay released this story to make him seem like a more badass person?
Oh, totally.
I think they both needed Bumblebee around. And it's sort of just a viral marketing thing where it's like, oh, dude, where's Bumblebee? Where's Bumblebee now?
And poor Shia LaBeouf doesn't know he's part of a viral marketing campaign. Yeah, he's just like spitting out teeth and bleeding out his eye.
Why does everybody hate me?
It's okay, Shia. It's viral marketing. It's guerrilla marketing.
Shia LaBeouf. I would love to hear like a little girl on an acoustic guitar just singing Shalabwaf as part of Wes Anderson's Grand Budapest Hotel in one of the rooms. It's just a Shalabwaf themed room. Last one. I know that I said the last one was the last one, but this one is actually. You guys cool with it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry Matt Lieb's not here, you guys. I know I'm not as funny as him. But I'm not Jewish, so I don't have the genes.
That's a weird email.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know why they wrote it in my voice like that.
You really sold the emotion on it, though. It sounded really, really sad.
Yeah, I got method for it. Here's another one. Hey, Frotter Pops. After the tales of the no-wipe vigilante who followed his nemesis back to his desk and some of the talk last week, I knew I needed to write you guys. I work in a fairly low-key but professional office situation. On more than a few occasions, including this morning, I have found myself stall adjacent to the same gentleman, if you can call him that. He'll be in there grunting and groaning, slishing and splashing with such a violence that I can only assume that his diet consists of library paste and gravel. I don't know if that would cause bad poops, but there you go. Anyway, no judgments here. I'm not particularly fond of what my gut and ass subject me to, from time to time either, but I simply report what I heard to establish that he isn't leaving the office, John, brokenhearted. Here's where things get curious. Once he's done, I can see by his feet that he stands, turns around, and then takes a full regular duration piss, presumably on top of his steaming bowl of morning stew. How is this even possible? It's like a sinister magic trick, or the first indication that my office is staffed by poorly blending alien-human hybrids. I have witnessed this three separate times by what I can only assume is the same person. Should I be concerned? Should I change up my poo schedule? Report this to my supervisor? Brendan, any insight? Thanks, guys. I know you won't steer me wrong. P.S. I assure you that I have not been murdered. Please don't try to find me. I will be on a vacation for a few months or longer. It's a callback for anyone. I think we've talked about this before, but I've tried to poop without peeing. It's not something that happens. It's not. You can't do it. It's an impossibility.
That's just, I mean, that's... If that's an X-Men power, like that should be in the next X-Men movie.
Just you in the adjacent stall screaming, no, no!
I would be impressed. You know those Shaolin monk guys that can suck their testicles back up into their body and like they let each other kick them in the nuts and stuff.
How is that a ninja skill?
Well, I mean, you're focusing your chi you're controlling your involuntary muscle system. You've learned it by being a ninja. But if one of those Shaolin monk guys could go up there on stage and then take a poop without peeing, I think I would be more impressed with that than the getting kicked in the balls thing. So if any of you guys listening...
This has been How to Entertain Vince as a Ninja Part 2.
If any of you guys out there are like with a Shaolin monk troupe, just putting that out there for you. Think about it. Have you guys ever tried it? I've tried. It's hard.
I'm gonna try it like every time now for like the next 2 months.
I get creeped out that dogs don't pee when they poop. I might have said that before, but it remains a point of perturbance for me.
You know why that is?
You actually know the answer?
They'd get it all over their fur if they did. They'd get it. Because they have to put their butt downwards, and then the pee would hit them right in the snout if they.
That would be hilarious.
And that would just be. I mean, how much of a dick would God be if he evolved the dogs to make them pee on their own snout while they're pooping? Not very nice. Poor little guys.
I hate being a dog. I bet you could do it if you trained. I bet you could do it if you trained. I don't think you wanted it enough, and I think your little dabbling in the poop no pee arena is akin to a man walking into a boxing ring having only played Street Fighter for his entire life, and that you were ill prepared and frankly just a mockery to the entire sport of poop no peeing.
Hey, I can go with that. If this guy's doing some sort of Kegel exercise where he's just flexing his prostate super hard, and just if somehow you could clench your prostate while relaxing your sphincter at the same, I mean, that sounds like, you know, doing the circle on your belly and tapping your head at the same time seems really hard, but I mean, with it's practice, like I don't know where or how you
at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know how you practice, but I mean, I guess you could.
I bet you could ejaculate in disturbing fashions once you gain that control. Like, you might have started for the poop no pee sport, but then graduated and you were like, holy crap, this opens up whole new worlds of disturbing crotch behavior.
All right, so that letter was from Jay. And Jay, here's your assignment. You find that guy and you figure out his secret and you record it and you send it to us because we want to know. You know what I mean?
You just gotta wait outside the stall if it's one of the inward swinging ones. So when he opens it up, you're just there, and you're like, "What the fuck, man?"
You gotta take him aside like an action movie. Like, hey, come, I got a job for you. You just take him outside. Need to know. All right. Well, do you guys have anything to add to this week's show?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's been real. Shout out to Brendan on his new house and his two dogs just chilling. And to Ben. Ben's still kicking ass, or trying to. And Matt Lieb and Laramie, who couldn't come either. Screw those guys. They're losers.
That's all right. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not a big hyperbole guy, but I think this was the best Frogcast ever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they got the most Burnsy that they've ever gotten.
And remember when we were talking about the Jonas Brothers? That was awesome.
We're going to have a retrospective the next 15 minutes of this.
Probably the next podcast. Next podcast will be the best of this podcast.
Right.
I'm going to start a podcast just to talk to people about their old podcasts.
That's the old selling the pickaxes, not the gold.
We call that the Burnsy Rewind.
Or whatever, right?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Anyway, on behalf of the Frogcast and Burnsy, Mayor Burnsy on Twitter, good night and good chins.